We're in the middle of Torah Lamed Aleph and Likutei Moran. Actually, we're in the middle of the appendix at the end of the Torah. In our Likutei Moran, it's page 104, the left-hand column, a little more than two-thirds way down the page, in the middle of a line, the last three words on the line are Vezeh Soid Nefila Sapayim. On this chapter on Likutei Moran, we've had so far about three or four shiurim where we covered the whole shiur that Rabbeinu Zal gave, the Torah on Likutei Moran, and now Rav Nosson Zal is in the middle of giving some appendixes explaining things he heard related to this Torah on Likutei Moran that add a lot of clarification to it. The part that we're in the middle of now deals specifically with the topic of kisufin, yearning, a person having ritzoinois and kisufin and hishtoikikos for kedusha, the feeling of a deep desire of wanting to do a mitzvah, wanting to come close to Hashem, and what's accomplished by that, how that works, and how it relates to the letters of the Torah and to the vowels, the nekudos of the Torah. We've had a lot of discussion about it up to now, and we'll pick up from where we left off. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, "Vezeh soid nefila sapayim." This whole concept of kisufin dikdusha, a person yearning for certain items, and the yearning itself creating souls, creating nefoshos, and affecting zivugim between nefoshos, this is all tied into the topic of nefila sapayim, which we have in the morning on certain days when we say tachnun. There's a certain paragraph which we say where a person falls on their face and says a certain special tefillah at that time. So Rabbeinu Zal says now, quoting the Arizal, Shekavonosoi lahaloi sanefesh. The kavona that a person is supposed to have at the time of Nefila Sapayim is that they're playing dead. The person's actually making believe they're dead in a sense, and thereby hoping to elevate their nefesh. As if when a person passes away, the nefesh is nistalik, it goes up. Here also, the concept of Nefila Sapayim is a concept of a person making believe they're dead, and also causing this Ha'olas HaNefesh, Bebechinas Ha'olas Mayin Nukvin, which represents a certain concept of raising and preparing a certain liquid medium that's needed Kaviyochel for Zivug. It doesn't mean physically liquid. It's a terminology that's used, Mayin Nukvin, which is a preparation for a Yichud. Because through the desire, the yearning that a person has, which it's known in the Kisvei Arizal, that this concept of yearning and desire that a person has creates this Mayin Nukvin, which is the preparation, the introduction for Zivug. That itself creates a nefesh, a soul, v'nis'ale, the nefesh is elevated, v'nase, yichud v'zivug. And through this, there's caused a yichud and a zivug. Obviously, Rabbeinu Zal here is talking on a level where he was talking to people who knew, who had this knowledge of the Kisvei Arizal, and understand how the Arizal explains exactly what happens when a person does nefila sapayim, what kind of yichud it causes in shamayim, and how this kisufin, this yearning. In other words, where a person's silent in a sense. Nefila sapayim, according to the Machaber in Shulchan Aruch, you're not supposed to make any sound at the time. It's supposed to be silence. Like a person who's yearning for something, yearning from the heart. In other words, not even saying anything from the mouth. And that hishtoikikus and kisufin causes a certain raising up of a nefesh, an elevation of a nefesh, and a preparation for yichud and zivuk lamala.
Are you saying that when you say in Nefila Sapayim, you should say it just with your eyes, just read it with your
chas
eyes?
Chas v'shalom. Say it with your mouth. But according to some poskim, it's supposed to be said silent, perfectly silent. Because the Zohar HaKadosh, there are different reasons given for this Nefila Sapayim. One of the reasons that's given, this is an interesting side note. We Ashkenazic Jews are noig to say the paragraph Rachum v'chanun chotosi lufonecho. That's what we say when we do Nefila Sapayim. Excuse me?
Bismor Zion.
Right. The Sephardic Jews say a different capital of Tehillim, which is Ledovid Eilecho Hashem Nafshi Eso. Eilecho Hashem Nafshi Eso. literally corresponding to what we said here, a concept of lifting up the nefesh. And their version is based on the Zohar HaKadosh, how the Zohar HaKadosh explains what happens when a person does Nefilas HaPayim. So one of the things that the Zohar HaKadosh says is that if you look in that chapter of Tehillim, L'dovet Hashem Nafshi Esa, you'll notice that it follows the Seder, the Aleph Beis. However, there's three letters that are outstanding. There's no sentence for the letter Kuf, there's no sentence for the letter Pei, and also the letter Vav, I don't recall exactly this moment, but it's out of sequence, or there's something different, or it's there twice, the Pei is mentioned twice. These three letters, Kuf, Vav, and Pei, are different in that paragraph of Tehillim. The Zohar HaKadosh says, and this is very timely because it's tied into this past week's Parsha, that there is one strange animal among all the animals in the jungle that's called a Koifa de Madbara. It's a certain wild type of ape that's found in the jungles, and this ape has a very interesting way of defending itself, because most wild animals, lions, things like that, will never bother with a dead animal. They only want to eat what they themselves have killed. A carcass, something like that, they don't want to have any interest in. This Koifa de Madbara, when it sees that it's being threatened by another wild animal, the Zohar HaKadosh says, what does it do? It lays down and plays dead. And it's able to do it so well, so perfectly, that the other animals leave it alone. They leave it alone, they go away from it. Now the question is, why is that? Why doesn't this animal run away like any other animal? The answer is, this is based on the fact that the Zohar HaKadosh, I believe the Gemara mentions it in one place, about the Oroiv, when Hashem gave the Makas Oroiv, that whole mix of thousands of all different types of animals that invaded Egypt, the Mitzrayim, it says over there in one of the Psukim, Ve'es ha'adomo asher heimo leho, that these wild animals are going to invade Mitzrayim with the earth that they're on. And the Meforshim say that this is Merames, that one of these animals came with its earth. Because this Koifa de Madbara has like an umbilical cord that attaches it to the ground in a sense, whereby it can't run away. It's rooted to a certain basic area. And because of that reason, if an animal comes to attack it or something, it doesn't have the option of running away to somewhere else. So therefore, it's forced to do this playing dead. And this is what saves its life. The Zohar HaKadosh says that this is the secret of Nefilas HaPayim, what a Jew does every single day when they're saying Tachnun. Tachnun is confession. A person's admitting and confessing that they committed certain sins. A sin requires a death penalty. Ish Becheto Yumas was the original intent when Hashem first created the world. So in this sense, when we do Nefilas HaPayim, a person's supposed to feel to a degree as if they're dying for Hashem. They're going through the embarrassment. In other words, that laying down is laying down and playing dead, acknowledging that to a degree this is what I deserve, and I'm accepting this penalty upon myself in a sense, at the same time having this hishtoikikus and kisuf and this yearning for Hashem, which causes this he'olas hanefesh and triggers off a yichud lamala, which means it's obviously a very heavy, deep item, I'm saying in terms of the Kabbalah that's explained for this. So this is why that chapter of Tehillim specifically, that begins with the words, L'dovet Hashem Nafshi Esa, that's the chapter that the Zohar HaKadosh says is supposed to be said. Why or how the Ashkenazim got the other paragraph, I don't know, but it must be mentioned. Must be mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch, how that came to pass. But this is the real version, in a sense, of Nefilas HaPayim.
Well, in America, you have a possum which does the same thing, plays dead.
Could be. Okay, next. Rabbi Nizal says now, Al Yedei HaKisufim, reviewing what we said before, Al Yedei HaKisufim Nasn HaNefoshos. When a person has strong yearnings for Kedusha, it actually creates Nefoshos. Because we mentioned earlier that the word nefesh in Hebrew means ratzon. There are a few psukim in the Torah when Avraham Avinu wanted to buy the Maris HaMapelah, he said to the Bnei Ches, im yesh es nafshechem, if you, and Rashi HaKadosh says, ritzonchem, if you want. So nefesh and ritzayin are synonymous. To the degree that a person arouses ritzayinos toivos inside of themselves, they're actually creating nefoshos toivos to give them strength. Shehem b'chinas nekudos. These nefoshos correspond to the vowels in the Torah. V'nizdavku hanefoshos. And the nefoshos unite. When we learned earlier that the letters alone can't do anything. It's only when vowels are added to the letters, then the letters are nizdaveg, and they're able to create shefa, etc. V'ze b'chinas zivukon v'tzarfuson shel hanekudos. Shehem b'chinas zivukai hanefoshos. Rabbein Azal says, this is the concept of the zivug that takes place between the different vowels, under different letters of words. The combinations of vowels represent zivugei nefoshois, the neshamois merging together. Validei hanekudois nizdavgu v'nitztarfu ha'isiois. And once there are vowels placed under letters, then the letters are able to be united to form words. The yichud, the letters coming together, represents ze bechinas zivugei hagufois. That represents the physical bodies coming together. Just as when there's a zivug between human beings, it represents a combination of gufim coming together plus nefoshois merging together on a ruchnius level. The two nefoshois are merging together. So too we have this concept in the Torah of the letters and the vowels. The letters representing bodies, a lower level. The vowels, the nekudos, representing nefoshois. And both of them merge together to form words which create shefa, etc. V'ze shekosuv, and this is what the pasuk says in Bamidbar, lo hibit oven b'Yaakov. The pasuk says, Hashem doesn't see any wrong in the Jews. Hashem doesn't look for bad in the Jews. The way the Gemara explains this, the Gemara learns out in Kiddushin that from this pasuk we learn out one of the differences between Jews and Lahavdol Goyim. That when it comes to a Jew, if a Jew has a machshava ra, a thought to do a sin or something like that, it's not registered as an action. It doesn't get put on a person's record. Normal machshava yisroes, excluding avodah zarah and hirhurim ra'im. We're talking about intent to do a sin is not considered normally a strike on a person's record. V'zehu, Rabbein Azal says, v'zehu lo hibit oven. Hashem doesn't see evil. Rabbein Azal says the word oven is roshei tevois vay ovdo nefesh. Shehu bechinas hishtoikikus v'kisufin kanal. We learned earlier that the word vayinofash on Shabbos represents the yearning that a Jew has to draw upon themselves the neshama yisera. That when a Jew sees Shabbos starting and a person starts thinking, oy, 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 in a couple of hours I'm going to have to give back and give up this neshama yisera, the person that arouses a hishtoikikus and kisufin on the part of the person, and that's what actually creates the nefesh yisera, the neshama yisera. In other words, what actually turns on the neshama yisera in a person is that feeling, that longing for the neshama yisera. The fact that a person realizes the vay of the nefesh, that I'm going to feel so bad when Shabbos is over, and the person starts like reaching out, wanting to hold on to it, wanting to make it stay as long as it can, that longing is what actually turns on the neshama yisera. So that was marumas in this word vayinofash, which the Gemara teaches vay of the nefesh. So that word is all marames for the machshava, the ritzaynois, which are not bepeh or bemaisa, it's the machshava. Rabbein Azal says, Hainu shehishtoikikus v'kisufim roim eina kodesh baruch hu metzareif. This means that when a person has bad desires or yearnings, Hashem does not include that in the cheshbon. V'ze loihibit oven b'yakov. Hashem does not look at the oven. Oven means the vay of the nefesh ra. The wrong types of vay of the nefesh, the wrong types of hishtoikikus. V'ze shekosuv ritzoin yireyov yase v'yes shavosom yishma v'yoshiyem. Hainu shetzrichim shnei habechinois. A Jew has to do two items, two things, ritzoin v'dibur kanal, desire and speech. Ki horotzoin shehu hakisufim, the desire, which means the yearnings and longing that a person has for kedusha or for mitzvois, poyel accomplishes shenasa hanefesh bekoyach. It creates a nefesh in theory, in a spiritual sense. Val yedei hadibur, whereas when a Jew expresses the ritzoinos bedibur, he speaks out his ritzoinos toivois, yoytze hanefesh mikoyach ala poyel. That's where he actually produces the nefesh lemaisa. Ve'oz nase bakoshosoi, and then the person's bakosha is fulfilled. Al yedei shemetzayer ho'is yois letoy v'kanal. Just as when Hashem created the world originally, he did it with words and letters, so too a Jew has to construct words and letters in order to create his own shefa. That creation comes about in these two parts. The Ratzon creates the spiritual, the nefesh, and the dibur creates it bepoyal. V'zehu ritzon yireov yaseh, ki al yidei horotzon shua kisufim naseh hanefesh bekoyach. The Ratzon also does an asiya. It makes the nefesh bekoyach. V'oz naseh bakoshosoy uritzonoy bekoyach. Then the person's bakosha is fulfilled in theory. Notice, when a person has good desires, the ratzon is enough that Hashem grants the person what they're yearning for, but it's not tangible yet. It's only in bekoyach. Bechinas ritzon yireov yaseh. V'acharkach v'es shavosom shemedabrem bepihem ha'hishtoikikus v'rotzom v'kisufin shalahem. When a Jew is zochet to express verbally what they want, what they're asking for, al yidei zeh yishma v'yoshiyem. That's when Hashem listens and the person, the Yeshua, is completed. K'al yidei hadibur nigmar ha'nefesh v'yoytzei mikoyach el apoyal. Because it's only when a person expresses those ritzonos bedibur that's when the nefesh goes out mikoyach al apoyel. Only when the person expresses the ritzonos bedibur. V'azayin etztayru hoisiyos, that's when the letters are finalized. They take on their final form. V'nasim keli lekabel toiv, and the letters become a viable keli in which to contain the toiv of Hashem. V'nismale bakoshosei bepoyal kanal, and that's when the person's bakosha is fulfilled in action. Ki kefi hanefesh she'oise bekoyach oy bepoyal, because according to the type of nefesh that a person creates, either bekoyach or bepoyal, kein nasen nekudois loisios, it's to that same degree that the person applies vowels to the letters. V'chein nitztayrin hoisios, and then the letters are completed. They take on a form where they're able to contain shefa. V'kach heim poyalim voisim bakoshosoy retzoinoy, and that's when they're able to accomplish the person's desire and what the person wants. Period. In a sense, we mentioned before the whole concept that bechlal throughout the Torah, the whole concept of creation is always with words. Bidvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu Uberuach Piv Kol Tzavom. Just like when Hashem created the world, he did it with Dibur, so too the Zohar HaKadosh says there's a pasuk V'leimor Letzioin Ami Ato. Hashem says to Bnei Israel, you are my nation. The Zohar HaKadosh says the word Ami, Ayin Mem Yud, could be read Imi, with me. Hashem says, just like I create heaven and earth Bimiluli, with my words, so too a Jew also has the ability to create heaven and earth with his words. What words? The Diburim of Tefillah. A person wants to create Shefa. A person needs something from Hashem. Rabbi Nizal says here, to the degree that the person arouses Ratzon for that item, they create a Nefesh, Bekoyach. They create the letters, in a sense, Bekoyach. To the degree that the person says what they want, they actually give diburim for it, that creates the nefesh bepoyal, and that creates the combination of letters and vowels, which represent bodies and souls, which represent a certain shlemus in which the person can receive that item that they're asking Hashem for. Obviously, this is a deep item, and we're explaining it and trying to understand it on our level. I'm sure there's obviously much more depth to this.
Certain tefillahs are good to put into words and others are less fun. For instance, Shemona Esrei, we learn that it's just in a complete silence.
You mean, why is it that certain words are supposed to be said loud and certain words not said loud? Right. Putting it into words is almost always, is just about always. But the question is, why sometimes loud and sometimes quietly? The answer is there's different reasons. Number one, the concept of Shemona Esrei means a concept of being inside the throne room of Hashem. And when a person is so close to Hashem, the Pasuk says, Loi dumio sihila. There's a certain respect, that there's a certain silence that's you're required when you're so close to the King, in a sense. That's one reason that's given. Another reason that's given is that this concept of a silent tefillah reaches up to a certain height of kedusha, which a loud tefillah can't at times. The word lachash, the word belachash, which means silently, the Arizal says that the word lachash is bigimatria 13 times the name of Hashem, 13 times Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei is Hashem's name of kindness. That when a person davens v'shmon esrei belachash, it reaches up in a sense to the Yud-Gimomida shel Rachmin. But each thing has its place. As important as it is for the Shemona Esrei to be silent, it's equally important that all other tefillahs should be said with sound, because the Gemara says, HaKoyel Moira HaKavona, that usually when a person's saying something perfectly silent, it's harder to concentrate, and if a person hears what they're saying, sometimes the sound itself helps the person concentrate better. No, chas v'shalom. It completes it. The question is, which is higher, rotzayin or rotzayin or dibur? The rotzayin is higher, but the rotzayin isn't a shlemos. Just like a neshama alone isn't shalem without a guf. When the neshama is put together with a guf, it can do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim.
His body is itself, I thought, was also on like the level of the Shemona Esrei. I mean, it's a different form of tefillah, but it's on a level of not higher than in many ways than the Shemona Esrei. So why would that be?
You're misusing the word. They're both in words. Why is one silent and one loud? I said again, because Shemona Esrei has its own rules. The fact that a person is literally inside the throne room of Hashem, it requires a different type of behavior. Although even with Hespoiritus, sometimes it depends on the feeling of a person. Rabbi Nezal said, depending on where a person is, if it's possible for a person to shout, if they're in a place where nobody else will hear them, etc., then the shouting or the davening, the tsa'oka, the davening loud and with power, helps a person tremendously. Rabbi Nezal said, though, it's possible for a person to be standing in middle of a group of people and screaming out to Hashem, and nobody there hears them, because it's a coiled mamadaka, it's a silent scream that takes place inside the person. And that also represents this super height of ratzon.
Well, we seem to say here that as much as a good ratzon as a person has, without dibur, it does not complete the ratzon. Yet we have, don't we learn also that we said a good ratzon is never lost, never goes lost. But yet, if it's, it seems to be saying here that, however, if you do not bring it out to speech, what good is all the ratzon if you don't?
It creates nefoshos bekoyach. Could be that tzaddikim or others could be mashlim that, or could be the person at another time could be mashlim it. Now, as the ratzon definitely does something, we see. But it's not a shlemus until it's brought out into dibur. Just like we said, the word Adam itself, the Aleph represents machshava, the Dalid represents dibur, and the Mem represents maisa. That there's a certain seder as to how things are supposed to go in the world. And it seems that until it's expressed b'dibur, there's a certain shlemus that's missing. Shaykh Le'el, connected to what we said earlier, Lamashikosav Sham Shelamdon Bilvad Bivadai Enoi Klum, Rabbi Nezal made a statement earlier that there's a concept of tzaddik and a second concept of lamdon. And Rabbi Nezal explained how important it was to have both, and that one without the other is again not sholem. So Rabbi Nezal said that lamdon without tzaddik certainly is nothing. Umi shetoya v'soyver chas v'sholem shelamdon levad hu oikur, and a person who makes a mistake of thinking that the level of lamdon alone is an ikur in religion, that it's the main thing in religion, hu bechinas acher shekitzetz benetiyos. That's a concept of acher who was an apikoyris. He ended up rebelling against Hashem in a very big way. Now Rabbeinu Zal adds a point here. V'chein afilu hatzadik lefa'omim kishenoifel mimadregosoi kiyadua she'yef shalamoi tomid bekvius al madregachas. Rabbeinu Zal says, a tzadik, even a tzadik, who at times falls from his madrega, there are times when he goes down, he's not on his normal strength, as is known that it's impossible for a Jew to remain on one level all the time. Azai bo'es shenoifel mimadregosoi, at the time that the tzaddik falls, goes down from his level, im yirtze lahachzik atzmoi b'madregas lamdon shenishar loi, if he'll want to support himself at that time with the level of lamdon that still exists inside of him, hu loi toiv, it won't work, it's no good, it's wrong. Rak tzorich lahachzik atzmoi b'yira shamayim ma shiyesh loi adayin mehorishimu shenishar loi. But rather, he must make sure at that time when he falls, not to try to sustain himself with the chachmois, with the level of lamdon, but rather to sustain himself with yira shamayim, with fear of Hashem, which represents the opposite of chachmois, a certain emuna, a pshitus, a tmimus. We mentioned many times that one of the differences in concept between men and women, the men represent the concept of chachma, the man has the obligation, the chiyuv, of learning Torah, more so than a woman, the learning, the seichel aspect. The woman represents the Yiras Hashem. Isha Yiras Hashem hi tisalol. The attribute of Yiras Hashem comes more easily and more naturally to women than it does to men. Yiras Hashem, emuna, that type of item. So Rabbeinu Zal says here that when a person is b'shas yirida, even by tzaddikim, when a tzaddik is b'shas yirida, he has to know at that time to shift gears and not to make a mistake and try to use the level of lamdan, because in a state of yirida, the lamdan could mislead him. The lamdan could take him off track. He can get into the wrong kinds of chachmas. He has to know at that time to emphasize his yiras Hashem. And that could sustain him during the time of yirida. Just like Rav Nosson Zal says a lot of times in Likutei Halachos on the pasuk, lahagid baboiker chazdecho ve'emunascho baleilois. Laila represents a time of darkness, which means when a person's at an yirida, ve'emunascho baleilois. What's supposed to sustain a person during Laila, during the nighttime, the Yerida, is the Emuna, the Yiras Hashem, the absence of Chochmois. That's not a time to be thinking deeply, that's a time to shift into another mode. Now Rabbeinu Zal quotes a piece from the Tikkuni Zohar that's related to this topic that we said before of Tzadik Veraloi, a concept of yesh hevel asher nase al oretz asher yesh tzadikim shemagi alem kemaiso rishoim. We said that part of this process of people having ritzoinois and their ritzoinois creating nefoshois, and then when a person speaks, they put gasoline in this nefesh, and this nefesh is able to move and travel. And we said that when a person speaks in the dibur, nafshi yotza bedabroi, nefoshois are created through the dibur, and these nefoshois are floating around in the air. And sometimes a nefesh of a tzaddik can fly into a rasha, where the rasha will receive good desires, the rasha will be aroused to good desires, which didn't come from himself necessarily, but rather it came from ritzoinois of tzaddikim. And those tzaddikim, when they spoke out their ritzoinois toivois and created nefoshois, those nefoshois traveled through the air. They nafshiyotza bedabroi, the nefoshes came out in dibur and are traveling, and if that goes into a rasha, it can arouse him to tshuva or to start doing good. And the opposite is also true. Sometimes when rishoyim have bad ritzoinos and they express their ritzoinos bedibur, those ritzoinos can chas v'shalom go into tzadikim and cause them to have a yerida. Yesh tzadikim asher magi aleim kemaisa harishoyim, and vice versa. And we said that sometimes it could actually defeat the tzadik or the rasha. Sometimes it just it's like a punch in the stomach, which takes time to recover from, and then the tzaddik is able to turn around that ratzon ra of the rasha and fix it. Or sometimes the rasha, who receives this ratzon tov at tzaddik, it punches him in the stomach temporarily until he's mezgaber on it, until he devours and destroys that ratzon tov at tzaddik and goes back to his rishus. We said that these were the different potentials. Now Rabbeinu Zal quotes a piece from the Tikkuni Zohar This is talking, the Zohar HaKadosh is talking about the topic of Cain and Hevel, when Cain murdered Hevel. So the Zohar HaKadosh says that this was a discussion between Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal and his students. The question was, what actually happened and why? The Torah seems to say that Hevel brought, they both brought karbonis. Hevel brought a korban from the best of his sheep. Cain brought a korban from his pishton, from his flax. Hevel's korban was accepted by Hashem baratzoin. Hashem loved his korban. Cain's korban was rejected. Cain got jealous and killed his brother Hevel. So one of the questions that the Zohar HaKadosh asks is, hold on a second. If the Torah says that Hevel's korban was accepted by Hashem, that Hashem loved his korban, why did Hashem let him be killed? I understand why Cain wanted to kill him because of jealousy. But if Hevel was good, if Hevel was a tzaddik, how did he get himself killed? So the Zohar HaKadosh explains, and this is Rabbeinu Zal's quoting in middle of a discussion. Omar lei, ki biyoim achol chamimenuks. Ah, so this question was asked to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, and he answered that it came as a result of Hevel eating from the Eitz Hadas. That Hevel also tasted, in a sense, from the Eitz Hadas. The Zohar HaKadosh uses the wording, hitzitz umeis. Hevel looked where he wasn't supposed to, and a result of that, he brought upon himself a death penalty. So they asked Rabbi Shimon Yochai Zal, Omar lei, ki biyoim achol cho mimenu ksiv. But doesn't it say that on the day that you eat from it, that's when you'll die? We know that by Adam HaRishon, he ate from the Eitz Hadas on a certain, on Erev Shabbos. He was created on Erev Shabbos, on Friday. And somewhere in middle of the day on Friday, he ate from the Eitz Hadas. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that when Shabbos began, and Adam HaRishon said, Mizmor Shir L'Yoyim HaShabbos, that paragraph of Mizmor Shir L'Yoyim HaShabbos is an exceptional, exceptional paragraph of tshuva. Of a person repenting, Toiv Lahoidos Lashem, Olazam, Ale Osor of Alei Novel, speaking about Tikkun HaKloli, other things there representing a very high level of tshuva. So the Zohar HaKadosh says that when Adam HaRishon said that, he did tshuva, his tshuva is what removed the gzera from him. He was supposed to die on that day, but the power of Shabbos, Shabbos itself represents tshuva. Because the root of the word tshuva is tuf shin beis, like Shabbos. Shabbos itself represents tshuva, and when he said this, Mizmor Shalom HaShabbos, he was saved. But the question is, as far as Hevel was killed, the Zohar HaKadosh says, doesn't it say, b'yoyim achol chamimenu, that on the day that you eat from the tree, you'll die? Was it the day that he ate from the tree? So the Zohar HaKadosh says, Omar lei, Reb Shimon Yochai Zal answered, Bahahu yoimo hitzitz umeis. It was on that day, on the day that Cain killed Hevel, on that day Hevel was poigem in this Eitz Hadas. Hevel tasted from this wisdom that was a mixture of good and bad. The Eitz Hadas was toivo, a type of das that's mixed with good and bad, an impure type of das. On that day, Hevel ate from the tree, and that's why Cain was able to kill him. So the question is, what about his korban? What about the korban that Hevel brought that was received by Hashem? Did that help him any? The Zohar HaKadosh says, most definitely, because Hashem said, ki biyoyim achol chamimenu mois tomus. You'll die twice, in Olam Hazeh and in Olam Haba. The schar, the reward for Hevel's korban was that he only died in Olam Hazeh. His Olam Haba he retained. He didn't lose his Olam Haba. That's what his korban did for him. The great korban that Hashem enjoyed so much. Omar Rabbi Shimon, so Rabbi Shimon Yochai Zal said about this incident, begin doksiv, about this it says, yesh hevel asher nasal ha'oretz, asher yesh tzadikim shemagi aleim kemaiso rishoim. That there is a hevel, there was a person hevel, who was a tzaddik, asher magi alof kemaiso rishoim. And yet he did a certain ra, he did a certain sin for which he was punished. And yet he still classified as tzaddik. As we learned earlier, there were different types of talmidim. There was Acher, Lahavdil, Rabbi Akiva on the other extreme. And in the middle, there was Ben Azai Ben Zoymo, Hitzitzumeis, Hitzitzvanivka. And we said that those two are still classified as tzaddikim. Here also, the Zohar HaKadosh says that Hevel is definitely registered as a tzaddik. And yet the fact that he committed this sin, he received a maaser rosho. In other words, he received the penalty of a rosho. He had to go through this death penalty. But the fact that we testify that he didn't lose his olam haba shows that he still retained the title tzaddik. On that day, on the day that he was killed. And again, this doesn't necessarily mean a physical eating. It means a concept of tasting from this das that's toivora. The Zohar Kodesh uses the expression hitzitzu. He looked where he wasn't supposed to. Because there are certain chachmois, there are certain type of analysis of Hashem, philosophy, a philosophical type of thinking, which the Torah calls kol bo'eho lo yeshuvun v'lo yasigu orchois chayim. It results in moves. Usually, chochma is chayim. Chochma is bigamatria chayim. There is a chochma that's the opposite of chayim. Now, Rabbi Nizal says, shlemus kol advorim hi hoemuna. That which puts a completion on items, that which is mashlim everything, is emuna, faith. Ubilti hoemuna kol advorim chserim. And without emuna, everything is lacking. Kama Yisham Razal, as the Gemara says, Linyin Stoko. Hanoi Sein Pruto Lo'oni Mizborech B'sheish. A person who gives a coin to a poor man gets 6 brachos. V'amafai Soi B'yur Aleph. And a person who says a good word to the Oni gets 11 brachos. Ubein B'noisin Stoko, Ubein B'mafai Yisoni Anal Choser Aleph. And on each one of these two sides, there's one missing. Ki Roi Liois Sheva V'yud Beis. Because the correct numbers should have been 7 and 12, not 6 and 11. Keneged Zayin Koich Veleches, Ukeneged Yud Beis Mazolois, corresponding to the 7 Koich Veleches, and to the 12 constellations of stars, the 12 signs of the zodiac. Ki Tzdoko Hibachinas Galgalim, because Tzdoko is a concept of heavenly spheres. Kemo Yisham Razal, as the Gemara says, Ki Biglal Hadovor Azeh Yivorechecho. Tzedakah is called glal, miloshen galgal, but those, because it controls the galgalim in the sky. Galgal hu shechoyzer boilam. The Gemara says that tzedakah is like a galgal, a wheel. One day this person's giving and the other one's on the receiving end. The next generation it could switch. The children of a millionaire sometimes become paupers and the children of the poor become wealthy and the roles are reversed. Ukemoy shehagalgal yesh lo yishnei tnuois. Just as a wheel has two motions, forward and reverse, and so to these galgalim in the sky. Achas tenua hativius mi mairov lemizroch, vi achas tenua hehechrochius mi mizroch lemairov. This is what we explained in the beginning of the chapter on Likut Imran, that these galgalim in the sky have their normal way of turning in a certain direction, and then when they come around again to get ready for the next circle, for the next cycle, that's considered like a tnua hechrochius. It's simply wind, lahavdil, a pitcher, throwing a ball, and there's that wind up before he throws to get the motion of throwing. Here also, these galgalim, there's 180 degrees that represent their actual, the proper path, and the other 180 represents simply a winding up, coming back to go around again. This that the Galgal Hayomi rewinds and comes around from east to west and takes with it all the other Galgalim. Kain Linyan Stoko. The same thing holds true regarding Stoko. Omra Zalgamara says, Yoisimi Masha Balabais Oisim Hooni, Hooni Oisim Balabais. More that the one that's giving that Stoko receives much more from the Oni, then the Oni receives from the one that's giving. Sheze bechinas shnei tnuois, mimairav lemizroch, umimizroch lemairav. This represents the two motions involved here, from east to west and west to east. Hainu meho Oni lebalabayis, umibalabayis loni, ukamavur leel belashenizal, as was explained earlier, that Mizrach represents the one that's giving tzedakah, the shine. Zerach means the shining of the sun. Mairav represents the one on the receiving end. And we said that the Iker way of the Galgalim going is from Mairav to Mizrach. That's the main motion. Kikol ha-shefa v'abrochois boim al yidei ha-galgalim. Because we know that all shefa and brocha that comes to this world comes via the Galgalim. The whole concept of things growing, the sunshine, making things really grow and be able to create shefa. Kial yodom manega kodesh baruch hu oilam kiyadua, because it's through these galgalim that Hashem conducts the world, as is known. They're the symbol of teva, those things that kaviyochol Hashem allows to flow in a certain sense based on a seder of teva are controlled by the galgalim, which are controlled by Hashem. V'alkein hoyoroi sheyiu habrochois ha'amurim etzel tzedakah sheva v'yud beis. And therefore, it would have been more correct, it would have been right that the number of brochas that are mentioned as a result of tzedakah should have been 7 and 12. Keneged hagalgalim, corresponding to the different galgalim. Ach bozeh choyru lanu razal, but the rabbis show us in this, shehatzdoko chasero, ve'ein lo shlemus, v'adayin choserachas, hein benoy sein vein bamafayes, that tzedoko is lacking. It doesn't have a shlemus. There's one missing, both on the giving end and on the receiving end. Hainu shechoser ho emuna. It's the emuna that's considered missing. It's only when that's added on that completes the number from 6 to 7 and from 11 to 12. And it's through emuna that the tztoko is mushlam, as we explained in the beginning of the Torah. It says by Avram Avinu that he believed in Hashem, and Hashem registered it as tztoko. What gives tzedakah its chashivus, meaning its shleimus? Emuna. Vehem in Bashem, vayachsheveho loy tzedakah. His tzedakah became choshuv through the emuna. Vezeh shom razal, shemesh b'shabes tzedakah b'aniyim. This is tzedakah lo aniyim. The Gemara says that the sun shining on Shabbos, that's a tremendous tzedakah for the poor. Ki Shabbos hu bechinas emuna. Shabbos is the symbol of emuna. Ki Shabbos hu meid al yichudoi val chidish oilam kemuva besforim. Keeping Shabbos is how a person shows they believe that Hashem created the world. And he did it in 6 days and rested on the seventh. The whole concept of chidish oilam. And the fact that Hashem alone created the world. And it's only through emuna, which is synonymous with Shabbos, that's what makes the tzedakah shine. V'zeh, as we mentioned, that the ikur mitzvah of tzedakah is the tzedakah that's given to provide for a person for their needs for Shabbos, tzorche Shabbos. V'alidei emuna shubachinas Shabbos meira hatzedakah. Emuna, which is Shabbos, is what actually gives light. It makes the tzedakah shine. V'zeh shemesh b'shabes tzedakah, that Shabbos is a shemesh, a light to the tzedakah. Shemesh loshen oyer, haynu shebishabes shehu bechinas emuna meira hatzedakah kanal. Shabbos, which is emuna, that's what really lights up the tzedakah of a person. It adds a shlemus to it. V'chein ha-toyro gamkein chaseiro b'li emuna. So too, the Torah itself is considered lacking, in a sense, without emuna. V'al keinom razal, therefore we find a similar concept by the Torah. Just like when the Gemara discusses tzedakah, it presents tzedakah as lacking in something, there's a missing ingredient, so too when the Gemara presents the Torah, it says, bo David v'hemidon al yur aleph, that David HaMelech was able to summarize the entire Torah in 11 qualities. There's a chapter in Tehillim where David HaMelech says, "Mi yogur ba'ohalecha," which person is worthy for Olam Haba, to be in the tent of Hashem, and he lists 11 requirements. Then the Gemara says, "Bo Yeshaya Novi came along, vehemidon al sheish." He listed 6 qualities through which a person is considered a Shomer Torah. In other words, a person who's religious. Nimtzo shechoser gamkein echod min aminyan. We see here also the 11 and the 6. Mechuvon mamish k'mayshom reitzel tzedakah sheish v'yuralef. The exact same numbers that were used by tzedakah earlier. Ki ha-toyro chaseiro b'li emuna. Because the Torah is also considered to be lacking without emuna. That's why the Gemara over there says that there was the cherry on top. That David HaMelech said 11, Yeshaya Novi said 6, and then Chavakuk HaNovi came along and he said, I can summarize the whole Torah in one item. v'tzadik be'emunoso yichya. There's a pasuk that says a tzadik lives with his faith, which means that emuna alone classifies a person as tzadik. So we see that emuna is a summary of the whole Torah. Emuna is the one that completes the 6 and the 11 before it. In other words, it's a set. The Gemara didn't list these items stam. The Gemara was showing us that the 11 is a shlemus. The 6 is a shlemus. But it's only when the 1 gets added to each one of those, they become 12 and 7, that's when the sets really become completed. Because it's emuna that represents the shlemus of the Torah. This is why the Gemara in Masecht Shabbos, when it starts discussing the laws of carrying on Shabbos, it gives an example of a rich man and a poor man, and the rich man giving the poor man tzedakah. Ketzad he'oni, if the poor man puts his basket into the house, poshat oni es yodei lefnim, shebetchilas Shabbos, hischil taketh b'mitzvah tzedakah. The beginning of Masecht Shabbos begins discussing an act of tzedakah, the process of charity being given. And it describes the carrying. In other words, if the rich man is in the house, the poor man's outside, and the rich man wants to give him something, he's not allowed to stick his hand outside and put it into the poor man's basket, or to take the poor man's basket and bring it into the house. The whole concept of akiran hanocha. L'rameis shebishabis nishlam umeir hatzedakah kanal. The reason why the Gemara puts the topic of tzedakah as an opener of Masechta Shabbos is to show us that Shabbos is what completes the tzedakah. Shemesh b'Shabbos tzedakah lo aniyim. Ke'al yidei Shabbos shu b'chinas emuna nishlam umeiro hatzedakah. Shabbos, which is synonymous with tzedakah, is what gives a shleimus. Shabbos, which is synonymous with emuna, gives a shleimus to tzedakah. And it's through this emuna that there is nishlam, the brochois that were lacking. The 6 and 11 gets upped to 7 and 12. Ki emuna hu mekoyer habrochois. Because emuna is the source of brocha. Kamo shekosuv ish emunois rav brochois. A person who has a lot of faith, a person who has a lot of brocha. V'chein Shabbos ne'emar boi ki hi mekoyer habrocha. And we actually say that on Friday night when we say l'chodoidi, we say likra Shabbos l'chuv v'neilcha ki hi mekoyer habrocha. Why is it the mekoyer habrocha? Because it's emuna, and emuna represents shleimus of brocha. V'zeh shekosuv tzedek l'fonov yahalech. Rabbein Ezal discussed this earlier, that the galgalim control the roads. They determine whether a person can travel successfully or chas v'shalom a person gets impaired in travel. There are certain wide paths, like highways, or well-traveled paths. V'chein yesh shvilim, and there are some little backwoods roads. V'zeh haderech v'ashvil nimshach lekan v'zeh lekan, and one path leads one way, the other path the other way. U'lechol derech u'shvil yesh kenegdoi begalgalim derech u'shvil, and each path on earth, whether it be a highway or a little path, has a corresponding item within the Galgalim in heaven. V'chein bein derech lederech godel kan asabim, and so too in between different paths, there's certain areas where grasses grow. Kein yesh gam kein neged kol esav esav koychav shu kenegdoi. The Gemara tells us that every blade of grass on earth has a corresponding star in Shemayim that controls its growth. Sheho esev godoil mikoychoi, where this blade of grass draws its strength from that star. Kamoisham Razal, as the Medrash says, ein lecho kol esev esev shein loy koychov milmalo. There isn't a single blade of grass that doesn't have a corresponding star in heaven. Ulefamim kishodom yesh loy ikuv vitzar baderech. And at times, when a person experiences delays or suffering while traveling, humachmas shekeneged hamokoim hazeh yeshom ikuv bahakoychov. It means that in the corresponding star in Shemayim, there's an ikuv over there. There's something being held back over there, she'enoi meir bishlemus, whereby that star isn't giving off its light bishlemus. And because there's an ikuv lamala, it shows itself on earth by a person traveling in that corresponding area being affected by delays. V'alkein hatakono lazeh litein stoko koidem sheitzel laderech. This is why the halacha says that it's so important for a person to give tztaka before they go on a trip. The Gemara quotes the pasuk that your tztaka will go before you and clear a path for you. Because tztaka, we said, is biglal, galgalhu. It corresponds to the heavenly galgalim. Therefore, the tztaka that the person gives before they go out on a trip will remove those obstacles that could happen as a result of the koychovim and galgalim. This is what the Gemara says in Ha'iriyos, Koichov Echod Yesh Shemate Es Hasfinois. The Gemara discusses a story about two rabbis, and one took with him a lot of food, one took less food with him. So when one's food ran out, he said to everyone, how come you brought extra food? So he told him, because I know that there is a certain star, these sailors that travel according to the stars, and yet I know there is a certain star in heaven which is deceptive. And at times this star shoots across the sky, and it deceives the leaders, the captains of the ship. It makes them go in a wrong direction, and therefore it could make a trip take much longer than you originally expected it to take. What he meant to imply was that when a ship arrives at the place where it's under the jurisdiction of that star, where it's under the control of that star, azai hasfino toya baderech, that star causes it to get lost in the way. Because that particular star has something wrong with it. Its light isn't shining bishlemus. Therefore, it affects the corresponding ships that their travel isn't bishlemus. Now, Rabbeinu Zalai adds, Shemesh hu bechinois bris. The sun represents the concept of tikkun habris, as is brought in the Zohar HaKadosh. It represents a certain light, an oir. Validei pigam habris, ein lonu moir hashemesh. And when a person has pigam habris, then the sun isn't shining properly for them. Kiim marechamo. That person is only receiving a reflection of the sun. That person isn't really experiencing true light. Just as the Zohar HaKadosh says, siluka de yisoido ad abo v'imo. That tikkun habris affects the moichin. The moichin are always oir, chochmas odom toir ponov. It affects the light, the degree of light that person is working with. The akum nikroim tzel, the goyim are referred to as a shadow. Kamei shekosuv hoy eretz tzlotzel knofayim, referring to the land of the goyim being a land of knofayim, covering up. Veheim mechasim oir hashemesh, they cover up the light of the sun. Vizeo bechinas tzlotzel knofayim. The word v'yikonef means to hide. Hashem will not hide. When Mashiach will come, Hashem won't hide anymore. So we see the word yikonef means to be hidden, covered up. Tzlotzel knofayim means this tzel of the covering. V'zeo b'chinas mare chamo amuka min atzel. This is the concept where the Gemara says, where the light of the sun is deeper than the shadow, meaning it's covered up. The shadow is above it, blocking it. Ki af she Yisrael ikor, even though the Jews are really the most important ones, al kol ze ho akum mechasim aleim, still the goyim cover them up, ki ilu kol hoylem shalahem, and it appears as if the world belongs to the goyim. The Jews are in third place, in tenth place. Umechasin hoylem bederach hateva, and they cover up the world and make it seem as if there isn't a Hashem, as if there's things are going according to fate. Because the truth is, Hashem is really conducting the world. They cover up the control of Hashem and make it seem as if it's only the stars. The stars are on their own controlling the destiny of the world. There isn't a Hashem. The stars aren't puppets being controlled completely by Hashem. This is the way they make it seem, as if the stars are an entity unto themselves. However, in the future, Hashem is going to remove them. And that's when the shadow is going to be removed. Then the light of the sun is going to be revealed in its full form. Bibichinois Vizorochodochem Yirei Shmi Shemesh. The Pasuk says that in the future the sun is going to shine properly for the Yirei Shmi, for those who fear Hashem. Hainu Sheizgale Oyer Hashemesh. The light of the sun will be revealed in its full form. Vizehu Umarpe Bichnofeho. Hainu Bichinas Vloikone Foid Moirecho. The word Knofeho refers to covering, the covering, the shadow on the sun. Will have a refuah umarpe bichnofeho v'oz yikuyam ad oshis oivecho hadoim l'raglecho. That's when Hashem is going to take the enemies of the Jews and make them a footstool for the Jews. Hainu shehem yu lamata. A footstool means that the feet of the Jews are on top of them. Will be on top of them. Loi kemoi shehoyu mikoidem mare chamo amuka. Not like now, where we're on bottom and the shade, the sun is on bottom and the shade is covering over it. It'll be reversed. Bi Avraham nemar kechoim hayoim. By Avraham Avinu, right after he had his bris milah, it says, Vayir lav Hashem, v'hu yoshev pesach ho'oyel kechoim hayoim. He was sitting in the entranceway of his tent in the heat of the day. Shehu bechinas shemesh. Choim hayoim means when the sun was shining real brightly. Al yedei shemol v'nizgala habris. Because that was talking about right after he had the bris mila. That was on the yoim shlishi lamila, when he was feeling the full effects of the bris. That's on the third day after a bris mila, is when a person feels the ikar pain of the bris. The Torah testifies that for him the sun shone really brightly then. Because the tikkun habris represents this hizgalus of the light of the sun. Hatfilo nikras bechinas regel. Rabbi Nizal says that tfilo is a concept of regel, of the feet. The connection isn't brought here. Could be that this is tied into that ad oshe soivecho adoim l'raglecho, referring to the tfilo of the Jews being machnia the goyim. Now Rabbi Nizal says, kol zeho inyan shamanu tchilo beli bir v'kesher. This whole thing that we heard now, we heard it originally, and Rabbi Nizal didn't really explain it well. Whereas now, if you take this and attach it to the chapter on the Likutei Moran itself, the shir in the beginning, you'll see how everything is explained. Now, this was the last of a series of shirim that Rabbi Nizal gave related to the incident between Rabbi Shub and Hananya and the 70 wise men of Athens. But there were a few other debates that they had that Rabbi Nizal didn't give shiurim on. He didn't explain. So now Rabbi Nizal says, Gavra de Oizif, Verechaya de Tvira, two other debates that took place between them that are mentioned in the Gemara about a person borrowing money or a mill that's broken. We weren't zeicha that Rabbi Nizal should give a shir explaining those two debates. Avol mechlal dvorav shamati sheretzoinoi legalois toirois al kol hamamorim hanemorim shom. However, Rabbi Nizal says, I understood from Rabbi Nizal that he had wanted to give shiurim to explain those debates also, all of those debates. V'gam gilo daitoi sheretzoinoi legalois toira gam al kol hamaisa hanemar shom be'inyan asovid ve'atuna betchilo besoif. And Rabbi Nizal also wanted to give shiurim explaining the whole story as to how that debate started, how Rabbi Shimon Chanya came to the king, and the king asked, there was a debate where the goyim said that a snake gives birth in a snake's pregnancy period is so long. Rabbi Shimon Chanya said it's so long, and then they asked him, but we see that it takes so long. So Rabbi Shimon Chanya said, yeah, they took a pregnant snake. They didn't realize at the time they were checking the snake, it was already 3 years pregnant. He said 7 years, and the goyim said 4 years, something like that. So then the king said to him, if you're so smart, I dare you to go to their place and challenge them in their stadium, like take on these 70 wise men of Athens. And the Gemara tells how Rabbi Shimon Chanya built a special kind of ship with 70 chairs, a whole fascinating story of how he took on this mission. Eich hisnaig Rabbi Shub ben Chananya imam, eich bo aleim, how he found where they were and how he was able to get into their palace. There was a whole security system that they had set up where nobody was able to get in or out of the place where they were. Ve'eich hisnaig imoy machakach, ve'diber imik tzas me'inyan amaysa zois, hanemar sham begamora binyan ze. Rabbi Nosson Zal says that Rabbi Nizal spoke to me a little bit about that story